Roll up and kick my feet out. This shit was for a ticket, man. I call that shit that free lunch. I tell her how to speed up. She slow and she can keep up. We know we always out, but somehow they would never see us. People go change, hoes change. That didn't say carrots up your vision. Welcome back to TNT Hoops with Quit and Silly. Quit Bucks on the mic right now. Got my guy Silly to the right of me. And so let them know what we doing today, baby.
Yeah. So today we got some NBA over-unders for the upcoming season. Quit and I are also going to just do a little fantasy draft for the NFL just to kind of preview our thoughts for the upcoming season. Just go a little back and forth for basically quarterback through just defensive units and whatnot. And I think that's it. We're going to keep it short today for y'all. Nice little summer podcast. Keep you up to date. TNT Hoops. So let's get into it, Quit.
Let's get it. TNT Hoops, Quit and Silly. Answer was good, baby.
Chilling, Quitty. Long weekend, but I'm happy to be back. Get another episode out. You know, episode 21, back in the building.
What you do this weekend? Went to the beach. You got a little beach vibes.
Got a little beach tripping.
I feel you.
Got a couple shades darker.
It's always needed, I guess.
Touch the ocean. How was your weekend?
I feel you. Didn't really do much. You know what I'm saying? Chill with the guys on Saturday. But, you know, we vibing. You know, we out here.
Yeah, you got a little FOMO from that. Heard y'all went to River Deck, so.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. You know the vibes.
The gang, Rochelle boys.
Well, yeah, got the new crib, so we had to test it out. What we talking about today here? We got, got some NFL talk today. Obviously, we talking some NBA here, but we got some NFL today. Football season right around the corner. So, you know, we decided, like, why not put, you know, what we think, throw some Hail Marys out there and name the top guys, you know, at each position and get some NFL talk and obviously our NBA talk.
Yeah, so don't kill us. We know it's a lot of y'all football guys out here that listen to this, but we just, you know, casual football talk and kind of just our views on the season coming up. Heavy Birds fans.
Yeah, so heavy. But quick question for you. This is supernatural. What sport do you like to watch most, like when it's out of those two, basketball and football, when it's at their peak, like at its peak? When I say at its peak, I guess like late year playoffs.
Football Sunday still has the event aspect of it. So on a Sunday, like, you know, playoff Sunday, like everyone is still glued to the TV. I think that the whole aura around watching the NFL on like one given day is still a little bit better than basketball, but obviously as a whole, basketball, just like everything that encapsulates in a 7-game series is better than the NFL.
I like that viewpoint. I think if you look at football, it's like the game is kind of built up and won throughout the week.
Yeah.
Simply because there's so much preparation that actually goes into it. Like, I know a lot of football players say, yeah, we don't even really hit in practice. We barely wear pads and all that. Yeah, but the way your recovery is all throughout the week, it all leads up. Like you're saying, that event is what.
It's almost like a boxing match.
It's basketball. You get 2-3 games a week. You may take one series. You may be the Warriors and have to take 2 of the 3 series, win 2 of them, and in that last joint, you don't even take series. You still win it anyway, or you lose, but it's not like that full week of preparation for one game that
exactly,
you know, means all. It's the same value as all 3 of those basketball games.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's run our mouths a little bit. Let's get, you know, talk about this. So the over-unders came out. I know you saw that for the NBA. They got the top. We're just going to go top 8 teams and say what we think. Are the over-unders accurate? They're not accurate? Too high, too low? We're going to see if we'll take the over-under, obviously. So we gonna first start with the Bucks, or should we run down straight throughout the league?
Yeah, we'll start with the Bucks.
They're the highest. So we start with the East, or should we start with the full league?
We'll start with the East. Right now we have the Action Network pulled up, so we're just gonna run down some of the teams that they have up there.
All right.
Starting with the Bucks, projected over under opened up at 55.5 wins.
55.
Yeah, 55.5.
I thought. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's different sports books. Like, so Westgate opens up sometimes at 58. PointsBet, which is another sports book, opened up at 56. But I guess, like, the range is 55 through 58.
Right, and which one are we going to do?
I say we just do the mean, the 55, because there's, like, 5
cool, sports cool, books, perfect. So 55.5. I'm saying Milwaukee is under that.
Okay. Give me why. Why do you think that this year in a weaker East without Kawhi Leonard, Giannis getting a year better under his belt. Team a little bit stronger.
Right. I think with the load management aspect of the league now, I think Giannis is going to sit a couple games out. I think some of their top players are going to sit a couple games out, and I think it's a very important thing to factor in. They lost Brogdon, their best ball handler slash, you know, guy playing at that guard position that can guard ones, can guard twos, and also score on a perimeter.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a big loss for them. What were they at, 60 wins last year? I think they dropped about 6 wins this year just because you're resting, you know, your better guys, Giannis, Middleton, because you don't really, you kind of saw last year, you don't necessarily need, you know, that one. You do need the number one seed. I think Giannis wants to get that, but
yeah,
you don't necessarily need to dominate the regular season and not have the wheels for the playoffs. So I think they're 54 wins this year, slightly under.
Now, did you think he looked a little gassed? So I don't think the issue with him last year in that Toronto series was him necessarily being gassed. I think they just kind of took him out of the game. Like, you were able to
right, so different
looks at him, and he wasn't being able to be efficient.
Right, and I think Giannis this year, if I'm Giannis, I'm saying to myself, this is the year of experimenting. Obviously, I want to get better, but this is a year where, in the year, I'm going to see what I can do from the perimeter. Because he said he wants to be more guard-oriented.
Yeah.
So, you know you can dominate the league playing how you played in the regular season.
Yeah.
Some of those games where you may be a little bit more inefficient and not, you know, not shoot as well from the field because you're trying to mix in those jump shots,
yeah,
that may cause a couple more losses.
The perfect game of example is recent memory. We were just talking about the other day, but it was actually crazy because it was in the playoffs when LeBron was going up against Toronto and he was trying all those shots out the mid post, like the
field. He's making every one of those.
Yeah,
though.
But yeah, I mean, like, the fact that he's
able to do that. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But Giannis doing that throughout the regular season, right, just game by game.
For sure,
that's a good example.
That's actually a great example. So I think they dip a little bit. What do you say about that? Over under 55.5?
Yeah, I think they get over that.
Over.
I think he still has the drive to kind of. He seems like one of those guys that wants to, you know, like, I guess, dominate the league for a sustained amount of time, like, sustained period of time, I guess, is that what I want to say. So, I don't think he gets caught up into the, oh, these guys are taking load management, so I'm going to take load management. I think he wants to come out and kill. The number one seed, as we've seen last year, is increasingly more important. Like, the Raptors being the number one seed last year probably.
Bucks were the number one seed.
Well, I mean, in the finals, I'm sorry. So,
yeah,
like, having the higher record. So with the West loaded up, like, I think it's, I don't know, prime time for the Bucks to just be the number one seed overall in the East.
How many wins do you say they get? I don't know if you said that.
I say 57. 57. Okay. So they're not that 60 mark from last year, but let's go into the next team. So let's go to the Clippers. Yeah, the Clippers is the next team on this list.
In the West.
Yeah. So they're in the West and they're projected at, I guess the mean would be a 55.5 as well, just between.
Yep, gotcha.
Those guys. Last year, 48 wins, but obviously without Paul George and Kawhi. I think they get under 55 wins just between all of the load management and how tough the West is. I think they touch 50 wins, probably like 51, 52 range. But I don't think the West is going to be, like, there's not going to be a team that wins like 62 games this year. In the West, I think it's everybody's going to be like that. I think the high is going to be around like 57, 58. Could be one of those years. What do you think?
I'll take the over for that. I think the Clippers won anywhere from 56 to 58 games this year. I just think the dominance that Kawhi and Paul George are going to show on the wings defensively and both being able to create their own shot offensively and just be threats from all three levels, adding in straight. You have straight snipers around them, and Landry Shamet, Pat Beverly can shoot the ball a little bit for you. Obviously, he can defend like crazy. And then you have Harrell and have guys that kind of just fit. They had a system put in place, and now you're just adding two absolute, you know, calm demeanor, but dogs that fit your system. It's kind of crazy because the Clippers, they have a team full of the Lou Williams guys that have been good, but teams don't want to bank everything on them, yeah, right? They're at the lowest level of, I guess.
There's a girl no one wants to commit to.
Exactly. Tobias Harris, kind of his situation, yeah, how he was going around the league for a while. They have a lot of guys like that kind of found their home in the Clippers. And then you have two guys that were always top dogs, but they weren't, like, at the top. Like,
they weren't at LeBron's, the precipice of their power. Yeah.
With, Kawhi went to San Diego State. Paul George went to Fresno State. They both were out in Cali, and they didn't go to UCLA.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to, you know, these one of these top schools out there. So they always been kind of overlooked a little bit, but now they're the top dudes in their sport. They're the top guys right now in the NBA. Obviously on the wing besides LeBron and KD.
I like that.
Right, so they're like, they're the superstar versions of the guys on our team. Yeah. So the whole, I think the whole system fits. I think they'll be anywhere from 57, like I said, 56. So like 57, 58 wins, and they'll be the one seed.
Yeah, and just like you said, like it goes right with the Clippers narrative. These guys fit right into, they've been the quote-unquote little brother of LA for so long. So I think this year they're definitely going to come out and make a statement. But as I said, it's anywhere from that 51, 52 range, you think 56 to 58. So we'll document that. Let's pop back over to the East. The Boston Celtics, who had 49 wins last year, their over-under is right around that right now, across all the sports books at 48.5. What do you think?
48.5, is there?
Yeah.
I think Boston wins 48 games.
Right on the button, 48.
Yeah, I think they're a 48-34 team. I don't think they're anything over 14 games, over 500, just because you have a smaller point guard who's going to struggle on the defensive end. You have a liability at the five. Obviously, guys, there's not, you know, dominant fives, but there's games you're going to lose that Enes Kanter is just going to lose those for you simply because he can't bang down well. You know, and just be a defensive presence at all. When they pick and roll on the block, I think you're going to lose a couple games for that. With all the talent they have, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and even Gordon Hayward on the wing, I think that's what, you know, wins them those 48 games. But I don't think they're one of the elite teams just because I don't think they'll be elite defensively. That's always been kind of Brad Stevens' calling card, defend and share the ball.
Yeah.
But I don't think this team's going to be as elite because you take a step back losing Al Horford.
Yeah. And
Aaron Baines.
Yeah, and Aaron Baines. And I guess you get the replacement with Kemba Walker for Kyrie Irving. But so where I think the Celtics are more cohesive this year, and it probably is a little bit easier on the young guys in the locker room and your role is more defined, I think more so that the East has gotten a little bit better in that middle ground area. And so the Celtics aren't going to be able to just steal wins against like the Hawks on a night-to-night basis, you know.
Agree.
Yeah, the Magic are going to be a little bit better. The Sixers, obviously, like we're getting better. So I think, I guess my prediction is that they do get over 48.5. I think that's actually a little low. I think it's right at like 49, just in that range, just because they're still a top team. But I don't think they're going to make any noise in the playoffs, just to kind of get my preview for that. Let's pop back over to the West. Another top contender. We have the Utah Jazz right now. So they're at 53.5 across all the sports books. 50 wins last year with the addition of Mike Conley. I don't think they get 54 wins. I'm thinking, once again, like around that 50 range. A lot of people thought that Utah, just because they've improved and it's already just a stable core, and now they've kind of given Donovan Mitchell more assistance. I just think the West has, once again, gotten way, way better than we'd ever imagined. The two LA teams, Houston, obviously. You got Golden State, that's still very relevant. Kings are good. Mavericks are going to get Porzingis back. What do you think?
I think the Jazz, what is it? You said
53.5.
Yeah. I'll take the over for this one. I think Utah's going to be a really good team. Right in that range, though, like early 50s, that's going to be close.
Yeah.
I think they have the talent. I think top to bottom, they have probably a top three or four roster in the NBA.
Yeah.
But Mike Conley scares me, man. He gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? He misses big chunks of years, and it is what it is. Like, he's a smaller guard in the league. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the one thing I want to kind of point out, and I don't think people are really realizing, is the only little guard that has really won championships is Steph. You got Isaiah Thomas and Steph. And then you had Magic that was pushing the one, I guess, but he was huge. You know what I'm saying? Paul's that, but he was a 6'10", a bigger guy. So, if I'm forgetting somebody, y'all let me know. But I don't think like Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell will get it done. It's always the wings, the Kawhis, LeBrons, the KDs. The wings are the guys that win the championships. That's just my thought. So
they also added Bogdanovich, which is
and exactly really good right there
from Indiana. But
he can score the ball, but Lakers, Jazz in the playoffs, he has to guard LeBron. What happens?
Like, well, not this. I mean, it's the regular season.
Right. No. I understand that. I'm just saying my take on them as a
unit, like going into the final, like trying to be a
even in the regular season. Yeah, and then even in regular season, like Conley scares me is what I was kind of saying. Like he can miss 20 games and they can easily be in the 48 range.
I think this year, even if he does miss a lot of games, that I think Dante Exum, like, he had his first full healthy year, or almost close to healthy year last year.
Another guy that scares me, though. Towards ACL, I think, 2 or 3 times. Yeah. But
him serving as the backup, and I think just with Bogdanovich, and if Gobert is as good as everyone out West thinks, then they should be able to hold off a run if Conley gets hurt. But the Jazz are boring. Let's move on to the next East team. Let's talk about the Miami Heat. Just got Jimmy Butler. Currently at 42.5 wins.
That's low.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
Ooh, that's low for them.
From 35 last year, though. 35 total wins on the season. What do you think?
That's low. Jimmy Butler, they could potentially snag Bradley Beal here, I'm hearing.
Utah, or Washington, I mean, sorry.
They already said they want to get him.
They're going to offer him that max.
So, I don't know. I just think Jimmy Butler, leading the team, he's a dog. You got dogs on that team. Justice Winslow's, Bam Adebayo, even Dragic. They got a couple guys out there that's going to compete. They got young, springy legs and Derrick Jones. I like their roster. They're definitely an interesting team. I just think Jimmy's going to bring that. You're not going to walk in any gym and you have Jimmy going against Jimmy Butler and Coach Bo. Like, that's going to be – you're going in for a battle because they were competing with D-Wade at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think that's a 45-46 win team.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're in a 6-7 range.
Quiddy saying hammer the over. I take the over as well. I think they get around for like 43-45 wins. End up being around like the 4th, 5th seed in the East, somewhere in that range, which is kind of high.
But I got them in a 6-7 range.
6-7 range. So if we go through it now, Boston, Philly, Toronto falls off a cliff. So maybe, but Milwaukee 4.
Toronto falls off a cliff though. Are you sure of that?
Yeah, definitely. Toronto falls off. I mean,
they're out the playoffs.
I like No, they're in the playoffs. They still got Pascal, OG, and Anunoby. Kyle Lowry, still a veteran. Gasol, Ibaka, like running. But
they're deep. They're still deep. They lose Kawhi. Think about it. They were something. I think 17-5 without Kawhi last year.
You need that one guy. Yeah, you're 17-5.
Once again, we're talking about the regular season.
When everyone starts looking around, like it's different when you don't have that reliance. Like, those games you still have in the back of your mind, like, all right, like, I'm taking over tonight, Kawhi going to be back eventually. Mm-hmm. So you're playing a lot more relaxed. But when you know it's like, all right, this is make or break, and how this night goes determines how the rest of the season goes, is who's the guy taking the late game shots. And, I mean, not to just encapsulate it on that small moment, but those things matter. And having Kawhi as that safety blanket, I think, really helped them last year. Like,
man, listen, the Raptors have top to bottom.
46.5. 46.5 is their over-under win total, but... continue just
cool, the Raptors,
yeah.
And what is the Heat's 42?
Yeah,
the Raptors are going to be still a top five or six, and that's why I have the Heat in that 7. Because you go Philly, you go Milwaukee, you go Boston, you go Indiana.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You go Indiana. Well, who they just add at the one? I think, did they get Rubio? No, they didn't get Rubio. Hang on, who they get at the one? I have to find that.
I don't know. I think
I got Indiana. Well, the old Debo coming back for sure. I got Indiana over Miami. Yeah, you can look that up. Who did Indiana get at the one?
I'm trying to think.
They got McConnell, obviously, but they got
TJ McConnell. Honestly, all you need. We're pulling it up now. So, just in the meantime, as we're pulling it up. For the Pacers, since we're talking about it now, 47.5. So they're actually at a higher win total than the Raptors projected from Vegas. What do you think about that?
I think that's accurate. That's what I was saying. Yeah. I think Indiana's going to be a top 4 or 5 seed. And I also think, they got Brogdon. I'm tripping. I said Brogdon left Milwaukee, and I forgot he went to Indiana. Exactly. They added another piece.
Jeremy Lamb as well.
Obviously, Darren Collison. Jay got Jeremy Lin, and Darren Collison retired, so they went and grabbed Malcolm Brogdon. I think that's a great pickup for them. I think he's going to fit well playing next to Oladipo. So I think they're going to be higher than Miami. I think
TJ Warren too.
Gonna be TJ Warren, sneaky, man. He's a bucket. He just hasn't played in a real situation. They got McConnell. McConnell gonna be playing a sturdy backup point guard out there. I feel like the Pacers are such a great tight fit for him. They got TJ. That's my boy. yeah, and then you have Toronto over them. That's five. Then you have Miami in that six area.
All right, so I guess what I'm betting on is that Miami's better than Toronto. But we'll move on. Let's go back to the West. The next team that we have lined up.
What about
is,
Brooklyn? Brooklyn?
You want to go Brooklyn?
No, I just want to think. What do you think about Brooklyn being? It's a healthy Kyrie Irving. You got Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris. They got some pieces out there on a wing that can score and shoot. And then you have Allen and DeAndre Jordan. They got rid of Rondé.
Mm-hmm.
They're interesting.
I think so. Their win total set 45.5.
45.
One sportsbooks have that 50.5, very high on them, which I can see. It kind of goes with what Cody says. They have a lot of scoring. I think like a team like Miami is more scary to me than Brooklyn, because Brooklyn has kind of just. Like in the back of their minds, they know this isn't the season. They know that the season that they're gunning for is when KD is back and healthy. So it's going to be a lot of experimentation where a lot of teams are gunning for it now. Doesn't mean they're not going to be competitive, but I think that does. It kind of matters a little bit, especially when you're trying to integrate a bunch of new guys, a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's going to be the sole focus or the main focus of the offense compared to Miami.
Miami ain't doing nothing this year either.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
And they know they're not, so I don't get how that makes them scary. But, yeah, I mean, those are two teams that are going to be, you know, fighting in that 6-7 range, 5-6 range.
Yeah.
Is there any – who's at the bottom of the East that's, you know, in the discussion? Orlando Magic. Shout out to Markelle Fultz. Can you come back and make a difference, please?
40.5 wins. I'm going to say under.
40?
Yeah, 40.5. I don't know. Nothing about the Magic is appealing to me. The Wizards, 27.5, worst team in the NBA probably next year. The Hornets, yeah, 23.5, under somewhere around that. But let's go to the heavy hitters. The last couple heavy hitters we got from the West, we got the Lakers sitting at 51.5 is the average or between the sportsbooks that we have up right now. I say over. I just think LeBron with 2 months off in the playoffs. They're going to go on one of those like 19-4 stretches throughout the year. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, best team in LA. And it's going to be a lot of LA Lakers talk. And it's just going to be because it's, I don't know. Like, there's been a lot of backlash against LeBron recently. And like every time there's backlash, LeBron comes out and answers that. Like, you remember the Miami Heat when they won 27 games in a row? Like, what happened right before that? Like,
right.
A little controversy. And what's going on with the Heat? Yeah, just come on, smokes. Like, so.
I say the Los Angeles Lakers win 53 games next year, so I'm going with the over.
Okay.
For reasons you said, I think some of the talent with LeBron and AD, and then some of the talent around there with Kuz, who's a borderline all-star, DeMarcus Cousins, who can give you 15 to 20 points, even if he's not as serviceable as he was, you know, being himself.
He had 17-9-9 in the playoff game last year, in the finals game last year. So,
yeah. Right, so I think, you know, that roster, LeBron's going to be rejuvenated. They come out and they win. They, like you said, they go on a good stretch and they win a good amount of games. And I say it's 25-game stretch, they win 18, 19 of those games.
Yeah.
And I think that'll happen maybe one or two times during the year. So they'll be in the 53 range, 53, 54.
Okay. The Rockets, got the Houston Rockets next. 53.5 is just the average currently from 53 wins last year. So relatively similar with the addition of Russell Westbrook this year. What do you think? I'll let you go first here.
I say the Rockets, 53.5. I say over. I say they win 56 games.
You got sheesh.
Yeah. I think. And I don't know why every single year it gets – you know, like, forgotten how good James Harden is and is getting at basketball. Like, every year he gets better, which is insane. But I don't think people really realize how he's really been improving. So now I think you add that same roster who's only lost to the team that's probably been dominating or that has been dominating the league for the last 5 years in the Golden State Warriors, 5 straight final appearances. That's the only team you've lost to. and you add Russell Westbrook, who's probably not the shooter of Chris Paul, not the fit on that team, but talent, if you can make him and James Harden's talent blend, they could be scary. So in the regular season, I think they win a lot of games off just how good those two guys are at basketball, just strictly skill. And in the playoffs, they see if they can figure it out. But I think they get 56, 57 wins. And they're running it up. You got Harden getting 40, Russ getting 30. I think it's going to be, like, very exciting to watch. Like, it's going to be one of those things where we're both going nuts on the same night. And we're like, wow, we've never seen two guards do it. Even though Steph and Klay do it, but their ball, I guess, possession is not as much as them. They don't possess the ball as much as those two. Those two are, I'm holding the ball, making a play. But I think they can play so well off each other. That's a lot about the Rockets, but 56 wins for them.
I say the under. I say 52-53, right on the button. They're going to be very good. Just as Quitty stated, Russ has to be very efficient off of just like those rub downs, like from watch the B-ball breakdown a little earlier, just like the pistol sets. Got to be able to hit those mid-range jump shots and make himself a threat. I think it's going to take a while to figure out, and especially how difficult the West is, right? So you have both, like we said, both LA teams, those Dallas teams, like there can't be nights when, I don't know. There aren't gonna be a lot of nights to figure it out. And like, yes, their talent is gonna win a ton of games. And I'm not saying like they're gonna be a 40-win team, but 53 seems about right. Seems like right on the money. Like I think Vegas and the fact that like it's pretty consistent across most of the books says like, I don't know. I think just right around that, like maybe a couple injuries or one or the two may sway it.
Either way.
I think that's pretty spot on by them. So we shall see. Golden State is the next team that I want to talk about. Right now, they are at...
I think they're in the 40, low, like high 40s range.
So they don't have it in alphabetical order here. Sorry, TNT Hoops listeners. We got... 47.5. So with Klay coming back in January... the Steph, Draymond, and D'Lo. I think this is so fucking disrespectful. I think the Warriors. So we have a lot of. So currently, Quitty and I both have 4 or 5 teams over 50 wins right now in the West, and I do think that's going to be the case because the bottom is just going to be super weak, and there are going to be a lot of teams that just tank because they have no choice and no chance. I think the Warriors get 50 wins. Depending on when Klay comes back. If Klay comes back like late December, and if Steph is in MVP form, I can easily see this being like 55 wins, 56 wins. And everyone's like, I think people start to give Steph the respect that he actually deserves. I know this is just kind of we're beating a dead horse here about why he should be seen as one of the greatest point guards ever. But shooting matters, man. And being able to play basketball the right way and the correctly on a night-to-night basis matters. I know I'm going on like a spiel about the Warriors, but like that's tough to beat. And when you throw D'Lo in that and they run a lot of the same sets, like a lot of the high screening rolls, a lot of those things where guys can get in the paint and toss a floater up, like it's going to be scary to stop him and stuff. Like that's just a whole totally new problem teams have to deal with and figure out. It's a new dynamic. And he's going to be able to grow that and build that with him. And then Klay's going to come back in the mix for the last, like, two and a half months of the season. Like, plus Draymond, like, it's just...
You go. Yeah. You are. I'm like, you rock. Yeah, I feel you. So, what do you got, Mass? How many wins? If you would say a number.
If Klay comes back later than expected, 49.
He's expected to come back in, like, February, March. There's no way.
In January. I watched the video today. January is his timeline right now.
Did you see him the other day? He was just walking. Yeah. It was like three. Like Klay is really alien, a robot. But he was just walking like super normal. No brace, nothing.
I put 50 on the button. Right now, 50. I got 4 teams with 50 wins or 5 teams with 50 wins in the East.
All right, let me jump in there. I got the Warriors over. I got them in the 49-50 range as well. I think they get around there just because of the gravity of Steph Curry. I think D'Lo will be a weird fit at times, but I think he also will be a very complimentary piece next to Steph just because he can get to his shot with the ball and without the ball, and so can Steph. I think they'll make it worth two high IQ players, very unique offensive talents. I think the Warriors will be in a 49-50 range.
And it's a new challenge for Kerr, too. I think a lot of people have kind of written Kerr off as one of the better coaches.
Kendrick Perkins going crazy on Steve Kerr on Twitter. Did you see? Oh, my God. He like, yeah, Steve Kerr didn't do this. Mark Jackson was the one that started this, You know what I'm saying? He's going nuts. I'm like, damn. Like, why you? This is all because he said AD going to the, basically writing him, like, taking, cashing his way out the contract and just going to the Lakers is bad for the league. And Kendrick Perkins like, bro, you brought KD right over there. Like, you brought him to a 73-9 team. I don't think it's the same situation because KD was a free agent. Like, this was his time to make his decision. What Steve Kerr trying to say is guys signing the contract and knowing you're just going to be
like, it's bad for individual franchises. And, like, eventually they're only going to be four or five.
He's trying to stop that player movement.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, if there's no team in Charlotte, there's no, like, you just have to, the NBA market just gets watered down to five or six key cities. Like, the NBA is not fun for the Midwest and – that's how you start to lose it. That's how college football is losing its market because it's only fun for people in the South.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Good point.
But, like, I think Kerr and D'Lo, having D'Lo and Steph, he's going to have a lot of fun with that. Like, we're going to see a lot of just real, like, crazy high screen and roll. Steph off ball, floating. Yeah, it's going to be real fun. All right, we'll do one more team. We could either do the Mavericks or we can do the Blazers.
Let's do both of them real quick.
All right. Blazers right now set at 45.5 wins.
45 for the Blazers? They're over.
That's just the math sign. You can't have.
No, I'm not saying they're in the 50 range, but I'm saying they're 46, 47 win team. I don't think they sit at 45. That's like 8 seed. 7, 8 seed? I don't think the Blazers are that low.
Yeah, thank you, because we haven't done the Nuggets yet either. The Nuggets are at 52.
Like you said, though, bro, teams are – the math can add up. Like, teams – like, the lower teams, the Suns is one. Plus ones. There has been. Can you – like, there's been years with there's – the first nine teams have 50 wins, bro. Like, there's legit been years like that.
So it's possible. But that means there are going to be a lot of teams in, like, the 18, like, the –
no, in the 20, you have, like, a really bad team. You'll have a couple, like...
like, a historically bad teams. Like, we're going to have, like Sixers.
Listen, that's where I got them at. I got the Blazers. That's how we can do the math later. I got the Blazers winning 46, 47 games.
Okay. And then what do you got the Mavericks at? The Mavericks are at 41.5 right now.
Over. I got them, like, 41, 42 wins.
Could they surprise you and get, like, 47, 48 sneaking the playoffs?
Porzingis is good to go.
Yeah. He was practicing last year, from all the reports. Like, he just there's no point
of. He scares me. Oh yeah, I got him in that range. They're still a couple years away. And like you said, some teams have to lose. Like they can't be like surprising me and being up in the 47 range. I don't think they will anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a playoff team this year.
And then, all right, fuck it. We'll just do the Nuggets. Nuggets 51.5. I got under. I can't see.
There's so many more teams that match up with them now.
Yeah.
Like, there are a complete, the Nuggets were a complete starting five, and they had solid wings off the benches. A lot of teams are built like that now.
Exactly.
Like, teams like the Clippers, Jazz, Blazers, they're going to be playing right with them. They just beat them in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Right. All right. Next segment, we're going to bring into you guys the NFL Fantasy Draft. Quick back and forth from Quiddy and I. TNT Hoops. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, TNT Hoops. For the second segment, as we alluded to earlier, we have just some, like, a fantasy draft that Quiddy and I are just going to do. Go back and forth for the NFL. The season just upon us, first preseason game, I think this Thursday, Hall of Fame game. Quiddy and I are basically just going to draft quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, defensive line, cornerbacks, safeties, outside linebackers.
Yeah, bro. I think they get the point. You got it. So let's get this started. So we're going to start with quarterback, obviously. If I'm starting a quarterback right now, first guy I'm picking in the league is Patty Mahomes. Okay. Is there argument there? Or would you? I think Patty Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league is what I'm saying right now. What do you think about that?
No.
No?
No. Yeah, I just don't. I think, he had the best year last year, and we've seen 50 touchdown years before. We've seen Tom Brady have that, and he's the best quarterback in the league moving forward. But I think there are guys that can have better years than him and be more effective,
More effective? Better? 50 touchdowns? 50?
So Quiddy has taken Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to take my man Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, okay. I like it. I love it. Because I wanted to take my man Carson too in the mix.
Because you know, personally, I think, and this is going to, obviously this is super biased because he's played well.
It's not biased though. If you can explain it. Like, I won't have to always say that. Like, yeah. The dude's elite. Go ahead.
He missed the first, four games last year. We missed like 7 games total last year. Missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. But from what we saw 2 years ago as a leading MVP candidate, what do you have, like 38 touchdowns?
In the 32 or 33, 35.
But
because remember, he missed the last four. He was one touchdown behind Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson played all the games.
Yeah.
Did Russell Wilson win? Who won MVP that year?
I think Brady won MVP that year. They gave it to Brady. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Russell Wilson had the most in the league, but Carson Wentz was one behind him, and he missed 3 games.
My thing is, like, with him, he can make all the throws. He's smart. He's savvy in the pocket. Like, he's, in my opinion, he's.
People say he's not, though. That's what kills me. People say he's not savvy in the pocket. He, like, Skip Bayless, that's a hard person to reference because he hates the Eagles. But a lot of guys say he's, like, jittery. Like, he's never calm in the pocket. And then they say he can't put touch on the ball.
That's such an assessment just because he got hurt. So, of course, when a guy gets hurt often, you say he's jittery in the pocket. But, like, I think that's active feet. And when you're young, like your feet are obviously going to be a little bit more jumpy than a guy like Brady or Rodgers who's been in the league for 8 or 9 years. But the fact that he's not the guy that just escaped, like he's not a Lamar Jackson, obviously, but he's able to sit in the pocket. Like that Redskins highlight, that one where he's literally caught in the pocket. It seems like everyone's collapsed on him and he spins out. Like having the ability to do that, there's two other guys in the league that can do that. Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. And I think he's more athletic than both of those guys. So.
Ooh. I mean, okay, he's a bigger athlete, but yeah. Patrick Mahomes, boy, Russell, them boys can move, bro.
Yeah.
They can move. I ain't going to lie. Kyler Murray up there, too. You know, he's so fast.
And where I will give Patrick Mahomes, because, like, I'm not, like, this by, he does have a better arm than Wentz, and just better arm talent.
Sure.
But I think Wentz can make all of the same throws. Like, you can only throw a football so far. Like, yeah, I mean, how often is going 70 yards?
Yeah,
I mean?
Okay. And it doesn't matter if you throw it, you put it in at 90 miles, whatever it needs.
As long as it gets there. Brady is a perfect example.
Top two guys. Okay, so, I mean, I feel like I have to put, if I'm drafting next, if I'm gambling next guy, I got to go Brady just because he has to be one of the top dudes. He has to be in that discussion at least. I got Breeze and Brady before Wentz as of now. But what would you say after Brady?
I think Breeze is a little overrated.
Forgetting my boy A-Rod. I am tripping.
I think Breeze just kind of... He gets the luxury of just you. I mean, you get 8 dome games a year, right? Off the gate. And then most of the times you're playing either Atlanta, so that's another dome game. You have Carolina, warm weather. So, like, it's a lot easier to sustain that level of consistency. And, like, that does matter. Like later in the years, like, we saw Breeze, like, his arm's not breaking down, but he wasn't making the same throws as he was earlier. Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is, like, he's a magician, man. Like, if I didn't have Carson Wentz, and I think I would take Russell Wilson next just because Russell Wilson hasn't been given much of anything.
Like, we haven't said Aaron Rodgers' name. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy because I think Aaron Rodgers has kind of missed his window. Like, he's one of those greats. Like, it's almost like the same thing as the Favre thing. Like, he got his one. Like, he was balling for a couple of years. Clearly the best quarterback in the league, but like you're playing in Green Bay at the end of the day.
Right. I think that's what it is. I think talent, that shit is there. You just gotta get the dudes around him, but nobody wanna go play there, so
no one's choosing to stay in Green
Bay. It's going
to
be tough for him, but he's definitely around with the top dogs. But I love Russell Wilson. I love him being in the mix.
Russ is just like, he's
I think so the quarterback creative. Was, like we were saying earlier, before we leave quarterback, we were saying the position's kind of transitioning to that smaller, that Russell Wilson type that can, with a lot of arm talent, can really move in and out the pocket, can stand in the pocket and throw, but also get out the pocket and make a play. Yeah. And it always is that threat to roll out. You know, like I said, the Russell Wilson types, the Kyler Murray types, the Baker Mayfield type, Deshaun Watson, those guys. I think it's transitioning to that, and I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well, just because that stigma of, like, you have to be 6'3".
Not even 6'5", big dudes, damn, they're all. Nah, you don't got to be Peyton Manning anymore.
Bro, like, think about what they're doing up in Denver. Like, I understand that Elway is one of the greatest, but, like, he drafted Brock Osweiler thinking that, like, yo, he's 6'7". Yeah. Like, he's got a long, like, you know what I mean? He can throw the long ball. He's accurate. No, bro. Like,
slow for all that.
Like, Kyler Murray can make all the same throws. And I think this is what we're learning, too, is like, it's all about the angle. Like, just not to get too deep into it. But, like you saw Patrick Mahomes throwing sidearm last year. Like, as long as you can get the ball in there and, like, you have the quick feet. Like, it's like when you play shortstop, like, you got to be able to make a throw from any single angle on the field, like, which is crazy.
That's what he played, right?
Yeah.
He played short? Okay.
Was it short or center field?
He definitely pitched. Like, I feel like all the football, he definitely pitched a lot growing up, man, because the way he has that unorthodox.
Yeah, I think he played shortstop. But, like, yeah, just but like
the Blake Bortle guys, the Nick Foles is like an outlier because he's one of the guys. I mean, there's obviously a couple guys you left. Sling. Like, they still look who the Giants go get. Just because it's like, that's this. It's crazy to think about it, but this is still how these owners and these GMs think. Like, they want to get that prototypical white guy that can think. That's why I really want to, like, if you think about it, that
they'd rather use their brain than their legs. Exactly. But you can find both, and I think that's what we found in Wentz, where a guy, he has the option to use his legs, and I think...
I think Wentz and Goff, though, I think they're outliers. Like, they're really good. Like, they're really talented. I think it's those guys, like, I think those Blake Bortles guys, those, the guy you just said, Osweiler, those guys you can't... Even what's his name? Daniel Chicago Jones. To Dan Jones. Mitch Trubisky, he's pretty good. Yeah, he can move. We said the same shit. He can move. He can run. But those guys, like, they're not the Kyler Murray prospects. They're not the Baker Mayfield prospects. Like, those is what the league is transitioning to.
And granted, that's hard to find. But, like, I think, like, the Lamar Jacksons, like, I love what Baltimore's doing with Lamar Jackson.
I'm saying,
like,
though, it's not that much. All right, so not to cut you off again. I love Lamar Jackson, too. But, okay, the kid at Alabama, lefty, Tua. NBA, NFL guy.
Yeah, so he is. It's different with him. Like,
he's not tiny, like, he's 5'9", bro.
But you can make one, so when you can make all the throws. Right. That's all that matters to me. Is that, like, NFL, right. Like, and especially when you play Alabama's offensive line is massive.
But he would get laughed at. He would get laughed at in the '90s. Yeah. Like, just he would do the same thing in college, and that guy at prospect would get laughed at just because how the game was played.
Different NFL now, and like, just to wrap up this quarterback conversation, like, the defensive line, like, those deep, like, when you have Khalil Mack coming after you, you can't have a guy that runs a 5'4". I'm sorry. That's not a thing. You have to have a guy like Phillip Rivers, like all those guys, like him and Ben Roethlisberger, they're living off a pocket movement now, like, and just, like, getting busy back there. So,
yeah.
Like, and just being able to manipulate a pocket and, like, step up into it. Like, how many times have you stepped, like, Phillip Rivers stepping with that ugly ass, you know what I mean?
That throw motion is crazy. All right, let's get to the running backs, though. We talk a lot on quarterbacks. Those are the main guys on the field, obviously. So,
all right. If I had to draft first, Saquon, obviously, just because most electric running back in the league. Who would you go with?
If I'm going, that would be my first. Like, Saquon is different. Yeah. I don't know. Like, he's one of those situations where let your eyes tell you what the truth is. Don't say, okay, he's a kid or whatever. He's the best running back in the league. He's not a kid. Look at the dude's legs. Like, pause that, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
He's dominant. But I guess if I'm picking the next guy, I'm going Zeke, who's holding out right now. Shout out Zeke for holding out. Cowboys.
Keep holding out, Zeke.
We ain't going back. Mess up all that chemistry.
Yeah. Mess with chemistry, cap room, all that. Pain is bread.
Right. Come back at any time. You know, come back, like, week 12 and just get your carries. You know what I'm saying?
Or do a Le'Veon Bell to just sit the whole year, bro.
Yeah, just chill and then go somewhere else.
Yeah.
No, but Zeke get a big season.
I actually like Le'Veon Bell more than Zeke. I think he's literally a wide receiver. He caught almost 90 passes. I think that's just the versatility aspect of it. I don't think he's going to be able to get a lot of different looks in New York just because they're going to be so reliant on him. But what Tomlin was able to do in Pittsburgh was just, I don't know, that was cool. Just
that
cool
kid's going to be good. He's the prototypical white prospect, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, so I think with him, like, when you do have the brain, like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not one of those people just like, oh, you need to have both. Like, when your brain is at that elite level, like, high one Dirk test and all that, right. Like, you can still win a team get, like, football games. I think he's not going to be a game changer quarterback.
Can he move a little bit?
But he's consistent. Like, I think he Kirk Cousins esque range. Okay. And Kirk Cousins is, or Joe Flacco, even. Like, Joe Flacco in his prime. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he can just give you one run. That's what I think with Darnold is.
I don't want the Flacco comparison, but I'll take it. Yeah.
Give me one more back.
I like Le'Veon. I would like Le'Veon over Zeke, too. I like that running back style where you can, you know, you're diverse. The Brian Westbrook's where you can throw in the ball. He can catch a screen. He can catch a, you know, five and little quick, little slant.
Yeah.
But if I'm throwing another back in, this is probably going to surprise you. But I like Alvin Kamara up there. But I don't.
No surprise, my friend. That was the next guy.
That was you. Yeah. I love Kamara, man. He is. You talking about electric, man? His feet just. His move. He like a little Darren Sproles, but he's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
He's super shifty, man. He can go. I love his game.
We're in agreement there. All right, let's go over to tight end before we hit the wide receiver position. You go first.
I mean, we know the top two.
Yeah.
Kelce and Ertz. But
I don't know, man. We saw.
Okay, so I'm gonna go first.
Okay.
Well, I'm.
Yeah, we'll take first, so I can just take the second joint.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Yeah. I think Kelsey's just so... Oh, Kelsey's so good. But Ertz cooks with anybody. Like, Foles, Wentz, Sudsfeld, whoever. Gertz is getting his catches.
Love Ertz, but he's still... The breaking contact thing still annoys me as a tight end. Like, he very rarely falls forward. Like,
and he doesn't... He's horrible after the catch. Yeah. Not horrible, but he's not elite. He's not Travis Kelsey. He's not the kid Kittle from the 49ers. Yeah. He's not... It's a lot of dudes that really, but I think Earth, just because of his possession, his reliability, he's like that Witten type where you know you get in 10 yards.
He's going to be open, if you need that third and four, third and five, like, you know, hit him on the button.
So those are the top two guys.
Yeah, Kittle and then...
Production-wise, Kittle and then...
Ebron. What? Ebron just because of the...
That's the dude from the coach, right?
Yeah, I think he just... Like, and goal line is the hardest place to get open. Especially for a tight end, like a lot of times you have to get off the line, like beat an outside linebacker, defensive end, and then also have to deal with like linebackers chipping you. Like the fact that he finds those spaces, Andrew Luck hits him.
Yeah, he's tough.
Wide receivers. I'll go first this time. I think Julio Jones is the best receiver in the NFL. Sucks that he plays with just that. I don't know. It feels like an offense that they obviously utilize him because he led the NFL in like everything but touchdowns, but imagine if you were able to turn him into the red zone threat as well. What do you think?
What do you mean if you were able to turn him into a red zone threat? He don't score. That's on him.
It's not on him.
What do you? How much are you going to put that on Matt Ryan? How much of that are you going to put
on? It's not on Matt Ryan. He's doubled in the red zone. Like, they just have two people, like one over top, one underneath, every single time.
Get him the ball, bro. Odell gets doubled.
It's not.
It's
not to the level of Julio Jones, dog. It's no debate. He's the most doubled receiver in the league.
You can say that all you want. I'm taking Odell over him. He doesn't score, bro. It is what it is. Like, you can say there's reasons they double him. You're playing football just like everybody's playing football.
But he leads the league in everything else.
Yeah, like, but he doesn't score.
First of all, he didn't score last year. That's the first year.
No, it was the last 2 years. I don't think he scored 2 years ago at all. Or something crazy like that, bro. He hadn't scored in like 2 years. So, me personally, my top guy, I'm going Odell. So, you got Odell. Who you going with if I take those? I mean, if there's...
DeAndre Hopkins would be next to me.
Hopkins is right there for me, too.
I love AB. I know AB would be the next option. But DeAndre of... the stat's crazy. So, it was like... It was every single catchable ball last year he caught. Like, he was the only receiver in the NFL. Like, any ball within the catch radius, he was the only person to catch anything. Like, everything that was thrown his way, he caught. We're looking at the Julio Jones touchdowns
last year. 2017, he had 3, and last year he had 8.
Yeah, so he hasn't scored
8 touchdowns last year. It was a long stretch where he didn't score at all.
He hasn't had a 10 touchdown. Yeah. He's only had one 10 touchdown season.
Which is crazy for an elite guy like him. Like, I feel like you have, like, bro, you gotta, I'm not saying everything's on him, but part of it, like, you have to get it done, bro. You just have to get over
1,600 yards, 113 receptions.
Oh, he's a beast, bro. He's a beast, but, like, well, that's what separates the TOs, though. So separates the Randy Moss. Like, bro, you're going to get double. Go score. Score 60-yarder. Score. Nice. Let throw it up. Go run by somebody. Go make a couple guys miss an open field. Odell's doing that. Like, that's part of the game. You can say, okay, when they get down to the red zone, all right, well, maybe you should go score.
Bro. It's not like...
I mean, listen, I'm taking
pressure, I feel like there's more pressure on Julio, but we'll see this
year. All right, so listen, y'all listening to this right now, just whatever, hit us up any way possible. Who you taking? Odell Beckham, Julio Jones. You starting your team right now. We'll put this up on a poll tomorrow and see what people think.
We'll throw DCNT was cool. All right, let's go over to the... before we go over to defense, we'll just do this for the offensive linemen out there. Best offensive line unit, you think, in the NFL?
Put me on the spot with that one. Who your top O-line? I mean, I know the Birds are always good when they're healthy. The Cowboys are always one of the top.
I think the Colts. Lines. The Colts has the best offensive line in the league.
Yes. Colts line is sturdy, both sides, offensive and defensive.
Yeah, the stat last year, they had the second longest streak without their quarterback in sack.
That was amazing,
that's crazy.
And they were horrible. Yeah. They had, like, the worst offensive line in the league, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, beefed it up, protect their quarterback, very smart, protect their asset. I think the only other team to have that streak was the Giants in 2010. Yeah, but we don't really care about offensive lines. Defensive lines. Let's go to just best D lineman in the league. Give me your guys, and we'll go back and forth.
Aaron Donald.
I would take Fletch right after that.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's arguably the best player in the league, defensive player.
Yeah.
At that. After Fletch, let me see. You have – who do we just pick up from the Bucks? Is he up there in the mix? I think his name is Malik Jackson.
I think it was from the Jaguars. Malik Jackson. Shout out to the Jackson boys. He's not in the mix, but I would definitely consider him one of the upper echelon defensive linemen. Jared McCoy for another interior defensive lineman.
Right. You got you got Aaron Donald, you got Fletch, you got McCoy. He's still on the Bucks.
I'm pretty sure he just went to the Panthers, bro.
Did he?
I'm fairly certain.
I think I saw something about him. Was he holding out?
Oh, no.
All right, it's a defensive line, man. DNs, Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he's on the Panthers.
I will Khalil Mack first. Who would you give?
For the DNs, if you took Khalil Mack because he's the only other game changer, I would go J.J. Watt.
What happened with Chris Long for the Birds? Did he just retire?
Yeah, he retired.
Why don't we? Yeah, okay. I was seeing something to say about him, but bringing him back. I know our line's stacked, but.
He's in the league for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt. I'm trying to think.
Clowney.
Yeah.
He's still a top dog.
Kind of, sort of. No, the, what's his name? Joey Bosa.
Bosa, yeah. Definitely. Okay. You got, there's a lot of outside linebackers that get in there and make plays.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Von Miller. Look. I'm sorry, what? 18 plus sacks and stuff. Strip sacks. What is it? 18 combined sacks and stuff in the fourth quarter. All right, that's crazy.
You can just forget about, with him. You can forget about Von Miller. Khalil Mack just dominates the position.
Cornerbacks.
Cornerback, you got Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
You gonna lock your ass up, talk shit while you're doing it.
You taking him first? Ha-ha,
Davis.
That video was...
stupid. It was dumb as hell. Promo, definitely got both of them some money, though. Yeah, why not? I'll take him first. Who would you take? The corner. I think he's
prototypical. Like Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson, yeah. He's been a top dude.
Yeah.
Forever now, seems like.
Yeah, I think he's in that Darrell Reeves stage range right now where he's like the old head corner that like everyone respects. Like, I think... Corners is one of that one positions where it's like there's always a clear cut.
But the thing about corners is nobody ever dominates the position for like a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
Like Sherman was like, ooh, like he about to be Deion Sanders. And then it's like, all right, couple injuries here,
I feel like for a while, people still, like a lot of the football players still said Patrick Peterson. Like,
no, he
throughout
was,
that.
Yeah, but
the, like Sherman was balling. He definitely was balling. Yeah. But. Just like a play-by-play
standpoint. I thought Sherman was the best at a point. When they were making that the 2 out of 3 years,
I disagree.
His numbers were different.
We have Cam Chancellor behind you, Cousin, you have Bobby Wagner, you have all those guys.
That secondary was just nasty, period. You couldn't even throw it to the other side. Yeah. Like, they were tough.
Cam Chancellor, all them guys.
Earl Thomas, all. But, I think Sherman was. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, Sherman was a top three. Is Sherman a top three guy now still?
Nah. Coming because he – blew out his ACL, and he played a little bit for the 49ers last year.
That's my point. He was one of those guys. So,
for the Birds, though, we got a plethora of cornerbacks right now coming into the year. Yeah, so.
Who do you? So, I'd say, okay, so you got a lot of guys, though. So, you got Mills, you got Douglas, you got Darby.
Maddox.
You got Maddox, you got LeBlanc, you got Scandrick from the Cowboys just now, and then you got...
So, Scandrick Jenkins, push back in the safety spots. I think off the gate, right?
Scandrick?
Yeah, I think you go Scandrick.
Why not? I say Douglas.
I mean, Douglas is going to have to earn it, right? Because you don't bring in a guy who had a cat. I mean, he had
we didn't bring in another safety. Oh, and what's his name is going to be back? Ronnie McLeod.
Yeah.
From Scandrick. He's a beast. He plays well next to Jenkins. I think they'll be fine back there. Ronnie McLeod gets beat sometimes, though. He can't really.
It's gonna be a lot of competition, I guess. That's what, and I mean, not to be cliche, but like having all those guys in camp for our wide receivers, like that's just incredible, man. Like to have Wentz go against those guys every single day, like man, it's gonna be dark
for me right now. And so is Darby, but
Cindy Jones.
No, not Darby. Darby's who I think Mills is hurt still. Mills is still working his way back. He'd been hurt for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on my last legs with Mills anyway. Like, I love the... He does make a couple plays here and there, but he's a shit version of Asante Samuel, so...
he talk all his shit. He's getting fried. Sidney Jones was supposed to be this great prospect, but I haven't really seen much from him. He's been hurt in and out. You know, hamstrings, button bother. He was just getting cooked in the playoffs. He couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So... We literally had Maddox and LeBlanc, and they turned out to be like two corners that were very serviceable. Legit, yeah, that shit was so funny, but we'll see how, how they come back this year. I say Mills, Jalen Mills can go. Yeah,
kiss you on the green hair, goodbye, player. All right, let's close it out with safeties. Earl Thomas, even coming off the ACL tear, good safety. It's a good safety. You're not as reliant.
Man, I think Malcolm Jenkins is up there. That's my pick. Because he ain't getting no respect. There's a lot of dudes. But Malcolm Jenkins, he played every snap of the Eagles season last year. Yeah. Like, part of the fucking job is being there, bro. True. He played when that defense was bullshit. When we had dudes, secondary, just anybody coming in playing randomly, Malcolm Jenkins held that fort down. We were still getting cooked some games, but we weren't getting blasted all crazy like Paul's that we would have been if Malk wasn't back there being that, you know, that commander, that the leader.
I agree.
I got him up there.
I think he's top five. I wouldn't take him if it was like one of my first picks. I think I'll take Byard from Titans, maybe Harrison Smith.
Honey Badger.
Nah, bro. I like the Honey Badger. He's real good, but there's never been the appeal for me there. As he's like a lead safety. Is like
Eric Berry.
Yeah, but he's been hurt a lot, right? Yeah. I mean, that draft class was crazy. You got to think it was Berry, Thomas, and that's in the same. Because the Birds passed. I think we took Jeremy Maclin over Earl Thomas and
Eric Berry. I remember that.
Which is crazy. At the time, I was like, man, whatever.
I thought Jeremy Maclin was going to be a great fit because he's another speedster to go with Jackson, which he was good. Jeremy Maclin was good. When he played with McNabb.
Bro, nah. Imagine we just picked the safety that we needed because it was
back in the back end. We trying to get down to some damn help, man. He ain't ever had nobody.
Yeah, but
it got to a point like where it was like where we need more. It was like literally just Deshaun Jackson and like nobody else. And you can't have, because we were saying like, damn, we can't even have this dude as our number one.
Yeah.
Like now he's back with us. You have Alshon as a clear cut possessive number one. You got DJ as just that deep threat who can probably affect
the
game.
He is. He's just
three times a game where he just going crazy deep and then, you know what I'm saying?
He's literally the rocket launcher. Yeah. I guess if that's one that we want to bleak with it. Like he can just blow the game open at any time. You know what I mean? Like, Ertz is still the number one target, I think, for once, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be... Yeah, Ertz, obviously, and then Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And then Jackson. I think Aguilar is going to be up there, too. He's going to be getting some grabs in that in the slot. And then you obviously have D-Jack opening the defense up at the top.
Yeah. All right. I think that is all that we have for TNT Hoops. It's been a pleasure, you know, coming back for you guys, giving you another episode in the future. Just hit us up, Instagram, Twitter, any suggestions that you have for us. Quiddy and I are always around. TNT Hoops, Quiddy, you got anything to add?
Yeah, you know the vibes, man. TNT Hoops, like I say every time, subscribe. I really mean this, man. Subscribe, you know what I'm saying? Tell your friends and tell a friend. TNT Hoops, man, y'all know our vibes. Got that music blaring in the background, New Drizzy. But y'all know the vibe. Tell your friend to tell a friend. TNT Hoops. One. I'm already on next year. That's some 2020 clear vision. You saying let you finish. I ain't trying to hear it. I'm off of spiritual lifting, but I don't fly spirit. I'm off of finding happiness, but down to